Hello, welcome back to Coach Anya Below the Bar podcast. So this week I wanted to focus on people who just generally overthink everything when they are in a calorie deficit. Like, oh, I didn't reach my step goal, it's the end of the world. Like, oh, I went over my calories today, it's the end of the world. Or, oh, I missed a workout, it's the end of the world. I failed miserably. It's back to square one. I can never stick to it. Like that kind of catastrophizing level of thinking. Now, I used to be guilty of that. I really did. And you know how I was able to stick to a calorie deficit eventually and get results and change my lifestyle is accepting that I couldn't be perfect all of the time, okay? And nobody can be perfect. I'm still not even perfect. But I just want to dwell on a couple of topics that are related to a calorie deficit and how it's not the end of the world that if you miss your step count or you miss a workout or you go over your calories, and just help you see it from a more rational point of view, because I need to get this like tattooed on my forehead. And it matters what we do most of the time, not some of the time. So I know my previous podcast episode was about me saying I have ADHD, so you might notice that I go off on tangents sometimes, or I forget what I'm talking about, or I might jumble my words, but that is just a symptom of that. So yeah, I just want to clarify that anyway going forward, so I don't sound like I have mushy spuds for brains, okay? So I would say, like, let's say steps, okay? So when it comes to steps, let's say in a calorie deficit, yeah, 2 weeks in or 3 weeks in, everything's been going great. And then there's a bump in the road. Something comes up that you genuinely just couldn't hit your step goal. And you start thinking, oh, I'm not going to lose a pound this week because I couldn't do 10,000 steps. I could only do 5. But you've done 6,000 steps. You've done 10,000 steps the other 6 days. So you genuinely think, now, I did ordinary level maths in school. I'm sure we all did maths in school. Even if you did foundation maths, I think it's safe to say that 6 is greater than 1, all right? So you need to look at it like that. What did I do most of the time this week, all right? So your body doesn't literally shut down and think, oh, you only got 5,000 steps today. I've just stopped burning fat. You are still moving more that week the majority of the time. You're still moving more than what you probably were 3-4 weeks ago when you were just sitting at a desk, going home to the couch and then going to bed with zero movement, okay? You are moving more than you used to. And remember, over time that compounds. Imagine if you only got 5,000 steps on that one particular day, or you knew that you were only going to get 5,000 steps, so you didn't bother move at all. 5,000 steps is better than nothing, okay? Again, it matters what we do most of the time, not some of the time. Your body is none the wiser. All it knows is that it's moving. Okay, and again, that compounds over time. Those little tiny decisions to just do the 5,000 steps rather than not do steps at all. You're still moving in general. All right, we just want to obviously aim for 10,000 steps the majority of the time. But some movement is better than no movement. Okay, and then for the days where it comes to you going over your calories. All right, so obviously this is probably the people's biggest worry. It actually matters about our weekly total in terms of calorie intake, all right? Because we're aiming to lose a pound of body fat a week. A lot of people think a pound is fuck all. Like, oh, I only lost a pound this week. Yeah, but you were still able to maintain a pretty normal life as opposed to you last year in a calorie deficit aiming for 3 pounds a week, under eating, over training, didn't have a life, mood swings, zero energy, hated life. A pound of body fat a week is actually a perfect... It's just a Goldilocks zone because you can still maintain a normal life. You know, you can still be social. You're just kind of maybe eating maybe one or two less snacks. Your portions of your meals are probably just a little bit lower, a little bit smaller, and you are just moving that bit more. And it's not having a drastic effect on your sleep, your energy, your mood, time with family and friends. You're not going insane, okay? So a pound of body fat is perfect. So a pound of body fat consists of 3,500 calories, okay? So your calorie deficit is basically, on a daily, 500 calories minus from your maintenance calories. So I'm at maintenance at the moment, all right? I'm not in a dieting phase. And that's 2,020 calories. That's for my height, weight, age, level of activity. Now, I actually had someone, this is me going off on a tangent. I actually had someone contact me yesterday saying, hey, Anya, I'm actually the same age as you and the same weight. But how come my calories are a little bit lower? And I said, well, how active are you a week? And she said, oh, well, I'm 2 to 3 days active a week. I said, yeah, well, I'm 5 days. So that's why I require more food than you. Even though we're the same height, weight, age or whatever. So that little things like that do differ massively. Okay, so don't copy off someone else's calories, because I actually remembered I mentioned my calorie deficit on my page before, and someone had texted me about 3 or 4 weeks later saying, hey, Enya, stuck to your calories and I'm after losing this amount of weight. And I'm like, you are probably eating way too little for the type of body that you have. You're probably someone who requires 1900 calories and you're eating the calories of someone who's like 57 kg and you could be 80 kg, you know, and that's not going to last. You can't sustain that. And you're probably eating far too little for the amount of activity that you're doing, where it's almost counterproductive when you're doing workouts at the gym, that you're not actually able to build muscle when you are pouring from an empty cup like that. All right. Your body's like, yeah, I've nothing to pull from here. Okay. But anyway, back to your weekly total. So let's just say, I'm just picking this number out of the top of my head. If I was to consume, again, we have to be minus 500 calories a day over 7 days, because 7 by 500 is 3,500 calories, and that's a pound of body fat, okay? So let's say altogether my calorie deficit is 14,000 calories a week, okay? So my maintenance would be about 17,500 calories, okay? So if I take away 3,500 calories from that, that's 14,000. Or is it? Yeah, it is. Well, you know what I mean. You know what I mean. So how I divide up those 14,000 calories doesn't matter. It does, but how I divide it up over the 7 days doesn't matter, as long as I just eat those 14,000 calories that puts me into a deficit, okay? So I could eat like, you know, 1,000 calories for 5 days, and then whatever left, which would be 9,000, I could split them up over Saturday and Sunday if I wanted to go off the rails. But that's not sustainable, because you're going to get to the third day by eating 1,000 calories and you're going to go insane. You're going to be severely hungry, and you're just going to hit a wall, and you're probably going to end up binging. Okay, so obviously the most sustainable way is to just divide it up evenly. But that's why sometimes people calorie cycle when it comes to the weekend. They might knock off 100 calories per day. Well, and then when you get to Saturday, whatever you've banked, you spend that on maybe a meal out or a couple of drinks, and all is still well in the world. But let's say you don't bank calories and you stick to your regular calorie deficit Monday to Friday. Let's say this particular client has to eat 1,500 calories a day, okay? Their maintenance will be 2,000, all right? So they get to Saturday and they have 2,500 calories, all right? If they have 2,000, they're literally just gone back up to maintenance. So they just maintained on that day, all right? So they might lose maybe, actually, even with the amount of activity that they have, they'll probably still lose a pound that week. But let's say they have 2,500, all right? So that's 500 calories over maintenance. So if you split that 500 calories over 7 days, like, they've actually only had an extra 60 calories a day. I know, like, we're talking maths here and it's getting very technical, but that's the way I look at it. If I go over by 500 calories over my maintenance on a Saturday or a Sunday, and, you know, it's not every week, or maybe it is, I don't know, but I just look at it like, okay, it's about my weekly total. So if I was to have 14,000 calories a week in my deficit, I've just had 14,500. So 500 calories over, you know, you've barely scratched the surface of maintenance. Like, you know, so the worst that could happen that week is you probably lose about 90% of a pound. That's the worst that can happen. And even if you were to eat, you know, like I said, this particular client, 1,500 calorie deficit a day, if they were to eat 2,000 calories a day that week, they would just maintain their weight that week because they're at maintenance. But if they were to have 2,500 calories every day for 7 days, now they're in a surplus, okay? Because they've gone 500 calories over maintenance, all right? And 500 calories by seven is 3,500 calories, and that's a pound. But with all your activity as well, your expenditure, your cardio, your steps, they're probably still going to be close enough to maintenance, because remember, your expenditure puts you into a further deficit too. Which is why, you know, when you're in a calorie deficit, your coach might prescribe you with cardio, because it still allows you to eat a lot of food, but the cardio puts you into a further deficit without you having to take away more food. So if, for example, that particular client, 1,500 calories a day is their deficit, and their coach might prescribe them 20 minutes on a training day. Okay, so let's say they train 5 days a week. So they're actually eating only 1,300 calories at the end of the day, but they're eating 1,500, but the 200 calories burnt, say, over 20 minutes on Stairmaster actually is only having them consume 1300 calories, all right, because they burned 200 calories. So it just allows you to eat that bit more food. That's the purpose of cardio, but also it's keeping you fit too, okay? So moral of the story when it comes to calories, it's not that big a deal if you go over by one day, okay? Because again, just imagine you divide it up over 7 days. That's like you only eating an extra 50 to 60 calories a day. It's not an awful lot. I wouldn't get into the habit of it, but it's not the end of the world. If it happens seldomly, once in a blue moon, you know, there's an event, or you want to have a meal out even, like, let's just say you want to give back to your partner or, you know, your friends, like, and you want to go out just for a main course. And let's say you don't drink. I usually have a rule of thumb when I am in a deficit that I'd either have a meal out or else a few drinks. But again, I did speak an awful lot before that I don't really like drinking in calorie deficits anymore, because I do think that it does stall results, or I don't get the most from my deficit when I drink every weekend. But I usually have a rule of thumb, drinks or a meal. Like, let's just say you have the meal as your dinner that day, okay? Your three meals as usual. You're probably only end up going to go over about 200 calories. So it's not that big a deal, you know? Like, let's say 1500 calories is your deficit, and the meal you have is probably 700 calories, okay? So you have your breakfast and your lunch, that brings you up to 1000 calories, let's just say. Maybe you have a snack, 1200 calories, and then the meal is 700 calories. So you've gone about 300, 400 calories over that week, all right? That's it. You haven't gone 3,500 calories over. And if you did, that would just bring you back up to maintenance. But if you went 7,000 calories over that week, then we're into a surplus. So think about how many calories you actually have to eat to gain a pound of body fat. 7,000 calories. Are you going to consume that on a Saturday night on top of your 1,500? Like, you know, when you think about it like that, it's so, don't be having that all or nothing approach that you've ruined everything, you've massively failed. Sorry, my cat is just in this room. I'm going to let her out. It's always when I am trying to record something that cat tries to get out of the room. I close the door to block out the sound. Anyway, yes, back to calories. So yes, stop overthinking it. All right. So steps, calories. And then what I would say as well is, you know, the food that we track, if you're using MyFitnessPal and you're, you know, scanning barcodes on the back of rice, pasta or whatever, or, you know, you're having a chocolate bar from a shop, food labels, in general, it's, I think it's the law. Is that the right term to use? So they are by law allowed to have a 20% error margin. Okay. So let's just say a chocolate bar says it's 140 calories. So that could be, there's a 20% margin of error. So I'm actually going to use an even number here, right? So let's say the chocolate bar is 100 calories. So that bar could either be 120 calories or 80 calories. So they're allowed to have a 20% margin of error. So the food that you're tracking probably isn't 100% accurate. So you think, oh, I'm on track, I stuck to my calories today. Like, you could be over by 20% or under by 20% at the end of the day. So you're never going to officially know. So just because now you know on purpose that you went over your calories, how do you know you haven't been doing that all along anyway? But again, it's, you can kind of start gauging, like, if the scale is going up, and that's why I weigh daily and I get an average over 3 to 4 weeks. You can start to see an average. If your average is going up, obviously you're not in a deficit. If your average is going down, then you are in a deficit, okay? Because your weight will fluctuate daily. Like, there's it's never going to be linear, all right? It's never going to go down in a straight line. It's never going to be vertical. Like, for example, you could lose a pound this week. Next week, it could be up a pound, but it's just water retention. Then the following week, it could be down 2 pounds because there's actually been a bit of a backlog there. Even though you've been in a deficit and the scale has spiked, you are still losing body fat in the background, but there's just water retention. There could be stress. It could be your time of the month. You know, and the week after that, it could stall again. The week after that, you drop another 2 pounds. Like, it's going up and down, but over time, it's going down, okay? So that's why I weigh daily. But yeah, like, you can never be 100% accurate with your calories, because even the food that you scan into MyFitnessPal is never 100% accurate. I hope that hasn't been too confusing. So basically, you have your calorie deficit. Okay, so let's just say you have your maintenance calories, and I'm just using this just for an even number. Let's say Mary has to eat 2,000 calories to maintain her weight, and if she wants to drop her weight, she has to eat 500 calories less per day. So now she's eating 15 calories a day for a week to drop a pound of body fat. If she wants to gain a pound of body fat, she has to eat 500 calories over her maintenance on a daily basis, because again, 3,500 calories, 500 by 7 is 3,500, that's a pound. So she'd have to eat 2,500 over a week. And to be honest, like, a lot of people find it hard to put on weight on purpose, because you are eating proper meals that are packed with protein, packed with volume. But when you put on weight in the past, it was from eating maybe 2 to 3 takeaways on a weekend, but you're barely eating during the week. You're just snacking. But even though the food items are really small that you're eating, the products that you're eating are very small. They could be very calorie dense, like muffins, cakes, pastries. You know, you're drinking your calories rather than drinking diet drinks. You could have 3 sugars in your tea and have fucking 5-10 cups of those a day. They all add up. And then on the weekend, you're throwing in cider on top of it, your takeaways, and that's how you're putting on weight. But it's unbeknownst to you. But when you're actually eating large meals on purpose, 3 of those a day, people can find that overwhelming. Like, they're stuffed. They find it hard to deal with. Like, one of the biggest biomarkers I get in relation to that, when people start upping their protein, you know, if they're in a deficit, you obviously want to eat protein to build and repair muscle, but also to keep you full. Most of the feedback I get from clients is, I can't eat all this. Like, I'm literally, I've eaten 1800 calories a day, and you're like, I can barely eat 1400. Like, this protein is filling me so much. And it's just because your body is not used to eating that amount of food. It's not used to eating full. That's, but you haven't been able to feel full because you've been snacking your way throughout the day. I used to be like that for months, years. And then when you actually eat a proper solid meal 3 times a day, your body doesn't know what's hit it. Your digestive system doesn't know what's hit it. But what I would say is, if that is an ongoing thing, like, some people can get constipated, very bloated, I would recommend some clients, okay, we'll just decrease protein a bit and maybe increase your carbs. Because remember, your calories consist of your 3 macros, your 3 macronutrients, your protein, carbs, and fats. Now, there's 9 calories of 1 gram of fat, 4 calories of 1 gram of protein, and 4 calories in 1 gram of carb, all right? So we might take a few calories away from protein, maybe, I don't know, 50 calories away from protein, and then increase your carbs a bit. So you're having less protein. It's going to be less hectic, less pressure on your digestive system, and then carbs, because they're just a little bit easier to digest. That doesn't mean, oh, we're getting extra pastry. It probably just means your portion of rice is going to be a little bit bigger. All right. So again, I'm going into tangents here. So let's move off calories. Okay. And then we will move into, did you miss a workout? All right. Your body won't change overnight. If you have 4 workouts scheduled in a week, all right, your coach decided that. Your body didn't decide that for you, all right? So your body doesn't know any different. It just knows that it's moving 4 times a week. And then 1 week, it just recognizes that it's moving 3 times a week. It doesn't care, you know, that you have this schedule. It just knows that it's moving more this particular week or moving less. But it's not going to have a massive impact on you, because remember, it matters what we consistently do over time. All right. So if you're consistently only doing 3 workouts rather than the 4 scheduled in, then yes, your progress is just going to be a little bit slower as opposed to if you are doing 4. Okay. But you're still moving. You're still exercising. 3 is better than 4. 3 is better than 2. 2 is better than 1. And 1 is better than none. Okay. So if you do miss a workout, and let's say you have 4 workouts scheduled a week, it's not a big deal, and you only get to do 3. It's not a big deal, because remember, if you are consistently doing 4 workouts a week most of the time, then that's fine, okay? But, you know, some weeks life gets in the way. You're going to miss a workout. It's not the end of the world. I sometimes miss it, and you just get up the next day and carry on as normal. If you miss a workout today, for example, does that mean you neglect your calorie deficit? Does that mean you neglect your steps? No. Okay, because we want to be ticking as many boxes as we can on a daily basis. So that was something I used to be guilty of as well. If I can't be perfect, then I won't do anything. But all those little things compound over time. Doing your steps, staying in your deficit, even if you missed a workout today, all right? That all compounds over time, rather than not doing anything because you couldn't be perfect that particular day. Okay. And then when it comes to your macro targets, okay, so it's very similar to your calories. Your calories are made up of your macronutrients, all right? Again, I'm not going to say it, but, you know, fats, carbs, and proteins have calories. So that's what your calorie deficit consists of. And then obviously, if you're up at maintenance, your macro targets are going to be bigger because you have more calories to play around with. But it's just, let's say your protein target is 130, your carbs is 200, your fat is 60, okay? They're just numbers I'm picking off the top of my head. That doesn't mean you have to eat those. I'm just, let's say, these are Mary's macro targets. If she only hits 110 or 120 on a particular day, the world's not going to end, okay? If she doesn't hit her carb target one particular day, the world's not going to end. You know, your progress doesn't come to a halting stop. like your body does not have a HR team. You're not going to be reefed into head office and asked, why aren't you hitting these targets? We have targets to hit. Why aren't they being met? Okay. They are just a gauge. They are just a gauge. That's literally it. So you can get as close as you can consistently to those. I don't hit my protein target every day. Like my protein target is 140. Some days I get 125. Some days I get 145. Some days I get 140. Some days I only get 125. But consistently, you know, 7 days a week, I am hitting, you know, 5 to 10 grams within or over of that target. And that's fine. But if I was only eating 80 to 90 grams a day, you know, that's a big gap. That's a big margin if you're consistently doing that. But some days I might only hit 90. That might be once every 2 weeks, every 3 weeks. But if you're consistently falling shy of like 50 to 60 grams your protein target, yeah, then we have an issue. You're probably going to start experiencing more hunger. Your muscle isn't really going to like be able to build and repair efficiently if you're not eating enough protein. So, you know, I wouldn't get too caught up on not like hitting your target bang on. Again, 15 under or 15 over is fine. But what I would say is if you overcompensate on one macronutrient, so let's say, like I said, 120 protein, 200 carbs, 60 grams of fat. If you had 250 grams of carbs that particular day, all right, you've eaten 50 grams of carbs over. All right, so you're obviously after consuming more calories in terms of carbohydrates. So you have less calories now to play around with at the end of the day to help you with protein. So that's what happens, you know. Sometimes if you overachieve on one macronutrient, you have less calories then. And because remember, there's 4 calories and 1 gram of carbs. So if you ate 50 grams over on your 200 grams of carbs, that's an extra 200 calories you've eaten of carbohydrates that day. And it's not the end of the world. As long as you're in a calorie deficit, which you will be, if you're tracking your calories, it just means now that you've less calories now to play around with protein. All right, so you probably will underperform on that particular day in terms of protein. You know, but look, it's always going to happen. You're always going to go over 10 or under again with each macronutrient. But if it's like 50 to 60 grams over or under consistently, like that's going to be an issue. But if you're only a beginner, I would just be focusing on protein and staying in my calorie deficit, hitting your protein goal and staying in your calorie deficit, all right? So the best way to do that is by pre-tracking in the morning or the night before. What protein sources have I got in the gaff? Eggs, chicken, ham, turkey. Okay, these are the 3 meals I'm going to have that I'm going to build around these protein sources. Log it in for your breakfast, log it in for your lunch, log it in for your dinner. Okay, now I'm going to start adding the carb sources. I'll have 2 slices of wholemeal toast with my 3-4 eggs. I'll have a wrap with my turkey and salad and a bit of cheese. And then I will have maybe pasta bolognese for my dinner. You know, if I had like mincemeat, 5% fat. Mincemeat, I'll have a portion of pasta with that, okay? And then you can go into the nutrition tab on my fitness pal and you can see, okay, I've actually reached 100 grams of protein today with those 3 protein sources. I'm still shy 30 grams. Okay, I'll have a protein yogurt in between each meal and a protein bar. There you go, Bob's your uncle. And there's traces of protein in carb sources, okay? Like small traces, like I mean 1 to 2 grams in a slice of bread or something, but you're going to get most of your protein from meat sources, dairy, etc., fish and that. And then like, you know, your protein snacks and stuff. But obviously the best sources are from whole foods, like, you know, your chicken, your poultry, your meat. But there's a difference between, you know, consistently trying your best. Like, okay, I couldn't get a workout done today, but I got 3 done this week. I should have done 4, but I got 3 done, and that's better than doing 2, okay? And again, 2 is better than doing 1. I went over my calories one day this week, but it was only by 300, so that's okay. I was consistently on track for the rest of the week. And then, you know, consistently performed well with my steps one or two days. I fell shy of like 2,000 calories, but, you know, I'm walking more than I used to this time last month. But there's a difference between trying your best daily and doing what you can versus just not being arsed. Oh, I'll start back tomorrow. Oh, you know, I'll just have a takeaway instead because I'm not in the humour cooking and I'm starving, even though you have meal preps in the fridge. Oh, my friend twisted my arm, so I'm just going to go out for food tonight, all right? There's a massive difference there. There's someone who actually is genuinely trying and wants to align with their goal. Their actions are aligning with their goals. And then there's someone where their actions isn't aligning with their goals, okay? So that's something I want to talk about next, and that's your support systems. All right, so your support system play a massive role when you are in a calorie deficit, or even when you're, yeah, well, I suppose a calorie deficit and at maintenance, okay? Because look at the company around you, your environment. Do you have people who help you strive, or people who are trying to hold you back? Because one of the biggest issues, and I actually asked my Facebook community on my app today, I did a poll and I said, you know, a lot of things you anticipate when you enter a calorie deficit is, oh, you know, I'm not going to be able to have my favorite food, which you can have it in moderation. Oh, I've never tracked calories before, like that's something I'm going to find hard. Or, oh, I'm, you know, I don't have enough confidence to step into a gym. That they think that's going to be the biggest issue. And sometimes they get blindsided, and it's actually peer pressure from people around them. So for example, you know, oh, it's pizza Friday and work, will you just have a slice, will you, Jesus, like live a little, or just have a donut, it's donut Wednesdays in work, or, you know, you're at a family party, ah, it's a slice of cake, will you, Jesus, we could all be dead tomorrow. Like, if you don't have boundaries and you have people like that around you and you constantly keep caving, like, when is enough going to be enough, to the point where you're like, no, I have a goal here. I don't give a shit what you say to me, whether it's fucking pizza Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Like, when is it, what stage are you going to turn around and be like, I actually have to stick to my deficit because I keep giving in here and she keeps twisting my arm? You are going to have people like that, and it's never going to stop. It's never going to go away. So either you keep giving in or you create boundaries, and that can be tough, especially if you're a people pleaser. Like, if you are a yes man, and you, I remember my own coach had to say this to me back in the beginning, like I was constantly going out and I was, you know, eating out on the weekends 2-3 times, and the scale wasn't moving for about 3 to 4 weeks. And he's like, you know, buddy, like, if when you're in a calorie deficit, like sometimes you have to be a no man rather than a yes man the majority of the time, because this is what you wanted. You wanted to drop body fat, but your actions aren't aligning with someone who wants to drop body fat. Your actions are aligning with someone who wants to maintain their weight or someone who wants to put on weight. All right. So you're kind of just pissing against the wind. So I would say, like, there's the people who don't understand nutrition and don't understand your goals and why you're doing it. They are the worst influence, like, especially the older generation. I got a lot of it when I was doing photo shoot prep, and I get a lot of it now. Like, people who are close to me, even who don't understand, like, they're caught in their own bad ways, and they see you actually striving and being able to say no to a donut. Saying no, and look, I love pastries, I love donuts, I love pizza, but I learned to have it in moderation, and I don't give in at the first hurdle every time it's offered to me, because we do eventually have to build that willpower, and willpower is like a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it gets. But if you keep giving in at the first hurdle, you're never going to build that mental resilience. And you'll be guilt tripped, to be peer pressure when it comes to, you know, being around certain family members, certain friends. You know, then you have to kind of question, like, are these people actually good for me? Do they want the best for me? Like, I'm trying to make my life better here. Like, they can see that I'm probably overweight. They can see that I don't feel great myself, and I have low body confidence. And they're trying to push, they're trying to enable that feeling, you know? So people like that, they don't understand you, and they never will. Because what they see is, it's like when it comes to drinking in this country, when you actually go on a night out and you say, oh, I'm not drinking, I'll just have one, will you? Because they see someone with willpower, mental resilience, discipline, boundaries, and they look at themselves and they think, I'm not like that. And it's like they're almost intimidated by it, and they don't want to be by themselves. They don't want to suffer by themselves, we'll say, or like feel abnormal. But they're making you feel like you're abnormal because you have discipline and you have boundaries. So for example, I'm going to use this. My friend, who was recently lost a stone, and, you know, I got her calorie deficit for her and stuff and our macros, and she went off and just did her own thing. She just walks and she just tracks her calories, and she's lost a stone like in the last 2 months, which is unreal. And she, like, the level of confidence that she has now, and it's amazing to see, it really is. But again, fat loss, you know, obviously it's going to make you healthier, it's going to make you fitter, but the mental side of it as well, of just looking at yourself in the mirror and speaking to yourself more positively, and then, you know, having that self-belief and thinking, I actually am capable of doing great things. And because when you're stuck in a rut, you don't believe that, you don't see it, and people expect immediate results the minute they go into a calorie deficit. Oh, nothing's changed after a week, and then they give up. But it's going to feel uncomfortable for a couple of weeks, a few weeks, a couple of months. But you have to just bask in that feeling of uncomfortableness because you won't grow in your comfort zone, okay? You won't. But when you see what happens, when you actually see that uncomfortable stage you, and then it starts becoming a way of life, then you do start getting comfortable. And then you're just doing it because, you know, it's a routine. And then you start seeing results. And results cultivates motivation, okay? But you have to put the work in to get that reward back. You can't just expect to feel motivation and get the rewards, all right? It doesn't happen like that. However, I asked her, we were arranging to meet up, a couple of us, and Tuesday, I think it was either Tuesday or Wednesday, we were supposed to meet up. And I said, why don't we just meet up tonight for food? And she said, oh, and you know, I already have my meals cooked and prepped for the day. And, you know, I don't want food to go to waste and I'm doing great. And I actually understood her so much. I didn't even challenge her on it. I just said, yeah, no problem. Because I know when I said that to other people in the past, I was met with, oh, it's just one meal out. It's not going to kill you. Oh, stop being a bore bag. I'll live a little. Oh, it's, you know, I just got a lot of that. Now, that wasn't her saying that to me back then, but I knew exactly what she meant, and I knew she had a goal, and I knew she wanted to be disciplined, and I knew she wanted to be consistent, and I knew, and that's someone who has boundaries. I said, yeah, no problem. Completely understood where she was coming from. And I was like, Karina, I actually respect that you are putting your goals first. All right. Because are you going to be a people pleaser where you're going to sacrifice your goals, that promise you made to yourself to see this through, to see a calorie deficit through, to drop a stone? Are you going to shelve that to just please Mary, who you probably see twice a year at a family birthday party because she wants to force a slice of cake down your throat? You've been consistent all week with your calorie deficit, done all your workouts, your steps, your stuff, and she's forcing pizza and birthday cake on you at a party one particular weekend. Oh, live a little, will you? Just have the cake, just have the pizza. You're not probably going to see her for another 6 months. Do you think she gives a shite about your goals? No. She just doesn't want to be by herself while she's munching on the cake and pizza. And you're like, oh no, I'm trying to drop a bit of body fat. Oh, live a little, stop being a bore bag. And then you get your arm twisted and all of a sudden you're two slices of pizza deep and a slice of cake, and you know, you've overconsumed 1,000 calories over your deficit that day just because you wanted to please Mary. So the next time Mary comes up to you at a birthday party or a family party or even in the staff room, remember the promise you made to yourself. And these are the statements I usually use. I don't explain myself. I don't say I'm doing a diet or whatever. No, I've brought my own lunch in. No, I'm not hungry. No, I've already eaten. Don't explain yourself to these people. And you know what? It's funny because when you drop the weight, they're going to be the first person to run to you and say, how did you do it? And they are the first people as well to do the yo-yo diet. They think that's the proper way to do it. To starve themselves, to live on lettuce and plain chicken fillets, you know, and they last about a week or two, they crash and then they end up binging again. And here's you doing it the right way. You can still enjoy birthday cake and pizza in moderation, all right? You just don't eat it every day like Mary does, okay? So that's how I'm going to finish up this podcast. I feel like I just went on a bit of a rant there, but it does. It annoys me. I still have to deal with it. To this day, I still have to deal with people. Health freak. That's what I get called, a health freak, because I don't eat a pastry every morning with my coffee. You know, I get called all the name under the sun and they think they're being funny, and it actually does hurt me. Like, it does, but then I have to remember these people don't have a clue. They genuinely don't have a clue. Again, these are going to be the same people that live off broccoli and plain chicken fillets when they want to lose body fat. That's what they look at. That's what they think about when they look at me. That's how they think I live. But it's because they don't understand. They're not educated when it comes to nutrition and exercise. They're still living in the 90s. They're still reading magazines in the salon or the doctor's waiting room, thinking that you can only have one square of chocolate a week. And if you do jumping jacks on one leg and do a handstand, that's how you drop a stone in a week, okay? That's what they think fat loss is. But here's you investing in a coach, you know, putting the money towards getting educated on nutrition and exercise and doing it the proper way, building boundaries, honoring the promise you made to yourself, you know, learning how to do it a sustainable way. And, you know, you're done with the crash diets, meal replacements, fucking injections or whatever. You're learning how to turn it into a lifestyle rather than a fad, okay? Rather than a crash diet. A little 8-week stint once a year where you drop 8 pounds to a stone and then whack it back on them because you didn't do it the right way and the sustainable way. You're picking an approach that suits your lifestyle, and then in the end, you get the results that you desire because you did it the right way, all right? So that covers stop overthinking it and have you got solid support systems, and just try and surround yourself with people who share, join a Facebook community, or, you know, follow people on Instagram that align with the person you want to be. Because that's what I did. I started watching YouTubers to educate myself. I started following people, you know, that share the same passion that I do or have the same interests that I do. And it educates me. It makes me feel like I'm not on my own and I'm learning more by following these people. And I know that there's actually people out there that share the same aspirations as me, the same goals, and live like me. Like, when you are the only one that wants to change in your friend group or in your family, it's hard, it is, and it can be a very lonely journey. So, you know, join a Facebook community, like a healthy one. You don't be joining these communities, oh, these fucking detox juices and all, like, they're just toxic, okay? Follow people that align with your beliefs, you know, that I suppose are gonna make you be a better person. You're learning more from them that you can, you know, turn this into a lifestyle and sustain it. And that's what I did. I didn't follow many people on Instagram when I started getting into this lifestyle. I just watched YouTubers who, and I looked at them and I think, how do they live? Okay, that looks sustainable. I could do that. I could, you know, maybe not eat 10 chocolate bars a day and maybe just have 2 instead. That seems like, you know, a good start. Okay, so I just have to eat these type of foods to hit my protein goal. That seems simple enough. Try surround yourself with good people, and the people who try to deter you from your goal, maybe either have a conversation with them. That can also build boundaries. Just be like, look, I don't want you coming in here making me feel like shit. This is my goal. I'm going to be sticking to this. Don't be asking me if I want X, Y, and Z. If I want a donut, I will fucking ask for one. Okay. Obviously, you don't have to be that blunt, but sometimes I am, because sometimes they just don't get the hint. But yeah, that's just how I see it. I had to build boundaries in the beginning, and trust me, people do shut their mouths when you pull them up on it. And sometimes that's what it takes, because it's tiring. It's mentally exhausting to be around people like that. It really is. That just constantly put you down, make you feel like shit for doing something good with yourself, for actually wanting to better yourself. But that just says more about them than it does about you. But anyway, I hope you have a lovely week, and I will be back next week with another episode.